Okay, we're beginning a new perek now, beginning at the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Mishnah says, Ein sodin dogim min a bivrim b'yamtiv. You're not allowed to catch fish from a bivrim on yamtiv. Rashi says that bivrim is a generic word for any kind of enclosure that you have animals living in. Actually, I've seen people that say that it comes from a Latin word related to the English word vitality, vivacious, whatever. Although vivaria would be something like it would be a thing in which living animals live. So in the case of fish, it means like a pond. In the case of animals, which we'll talk about soon, it means an enclosure. Whatever it is, the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to catch them from there on Yom Tov. Why? In the beginning of Ein Sodin, the beginning of third parak. Rashi says the reason is because even though it's malachas eichel nefesh, it's something you could have done before Yom Tov. You could have just as well caught the fish yesterday; it would still be just as fresh. So therefore, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Bivarim. It's like a fish farm, yeah, basically. Bereshis. New means a pond. Tosfos says differently. Tosfos says the reason is there's a different reason because there's only certain malachos we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta that Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi. There's only certain malachos that are allowed in the preparation of food. In particular, basically the ones from Lisha, the ones from after Sira, the ones from after harvesting. They learned it from Pasuk and Amasis. So therefore, now fishing. Taking fish out of a pond is similar to harvesting. It's like picking the food off the tree, and therefore Tosfos argues it's also. Then you have other Rishonim who argue that it's also on different grounds. They argue the Rishonim, I think the Rosh, the Ramban, others that argue that Seder and other such malachas are also on the grounds of these are the kinds of things that are often done on a large scale. So it's very common that you'll do some of them for Yom Tov as well as for after Yom Tov. So even if you're not doing in this particular case, you're not doing it on a large scale, you're only catching one or two fish out of the pond, nevertheless, you know, like, we're not making a distinction. No, according to other Rishonim, the Rosh and others, yeah. So we have three possible reasons why it's also. Anyway. But it means the track. No, but it doesn't necessarily. No, we're going to talk about it in a minute. The deal with Seder. The Ein Nosen Lefnei Mezonos, and you're also not allowed to put out food for the fish to eat. Rashi says the reason is because fish. Even we had in the last parak, we had a machlokes tanoim whether you're allowed to do malacha to feed animals on Yom Tov. But even according to the day you are allowed to, which we said was the halacha, that only applies to animals where you have to feed them. They don't have any place else to get food. Fish. They have plenty of food they can get in the pond, and worse comes to worse, Rashi says they'll eat each other. So they're not totally dependent on you for food.
Not at all.
Tosfos again has a different understanding of it. Tosfos has a different understanding of it. It's not because of that. Tosfos says the reason is because when you're giving them food, you may forget and start trapping them and start catching them. So it's all part of the gzera of not catching them on Yom Tov. Yeah, you may put a worm on a hook, maybe, yeah. Rav Shimon...
Can you put a worm on a hook if you're not allowed to...
That's the thing, if you're not allowed to catch fish, then no. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm a local abivrin shoven. Rav Gamliel said... Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. I will tzadin chayev oifin abivrin, but you are allowed to catch wild animals and birds from a bivrin, where here a bivrin would mean an enclosure of some kind. Venoisim look in Amazonas, and you can put food in front of them because they depend on you for your food. Or according to Rashi, because they depend on you for your food. Or according to Tosfos, since you're allowed to take them for food, since you're allowed to take them, check them, then you're automatically also allowed to feed them. Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Malay called Bivrin, Shavin. Reb Gamliel says, no, not necessarily are all Bivrin, are all enclosures the same. The general rule is, call them a choset seder also. Anything that still requires trapping is also, which we'll define in the Gemara what that means. V'she'enim a choset seder mutter. If it doesn't require further trapping, then it's mutter. Which actually, there's an interesting thing. The Rambam in Hilchot Yom Tov just says generically that actually, even though the Mishnah here is distinguishing between fish and on one hand and wild animals and birds on the other, but the Rambam, based on his understanding of what the Gemara comes out with, says there's not really a difference. If it's a small enough enclosure, then it doesn't really matter. Ravid says no. The Ravid says nevertheless, fish are still usur more than wild animals and birds for a different reason, not anything to do with trapping, but because fish are covered up by the water. So therefore, unless you specifically designated them before Yom Tov, they're mukta. Out of sight, out of mind, basically. This leads to a machlokas achroinim between the Taz and the...
Same about the wild animals that are in the forest.
No. We're not talking about the forest. We're talking about a bivarin. But even in a bivarin, even in an enclosure, the wild animals are visible. The fish are not because they're under the water. This leads to a machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham about this. The Magen Avraham, for example, wants to draw a distinction between whether the water is clear or clear or not. It also leads to a discussion. Is there, for example, if before Yom Tov you put a box into the water to confine the fish into a small area so there's no tzeda involved until you designated them, then you can. But is there a minimum size to the box? I mean, is there a maximum size to the box? The Magen Avraham talks about a maximum size of 6 tefachim. The Taz doesn't agree with that. The Alter Rebbe has a very long discussion in Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchos Yom Tov, the long Kuntras Achron, where the Alter Rebbe goes through all the pros and cons of this and ends up siding with the Taz. That's only an issue of Mukta. There's no issue of Seder involved if it's a small enough pond so even if the box is large, there's no issue. So as long as you designate them before Yom Tov, then you're good. Mechoser then means that it's lacking seder, that it still needs to be trapped. We'll talk about what that means. Mechoser is a raminu. So the Mishnah is telling us that the Mishnah is telling us that you're allowed to take to trap wild animals or birds in a bivrin on Yom Tov. But a raminu, I have a contradiction. A braisa says bivrin shalchayev shalayfus, enclosures of wild animals and birds ain't sudden man be Yom Tov. You cannot trap from them on Yom Tov. Ain't nice in the fnei zonis, and you can't put food in front of them. So, kasha chaya achaya, kasha ofis ofis. You have a kasha between the two things about a chaya. The Mishnah is saying you're allowed to catch chaya. The Braita is saying not. And the same thing with ofis. So, bishlem achaya achaya like kasha. So, okay, when it comes to chaya, you can say there's not necessarily a problem. Because, horab yehoda horabonon, because you could argue that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braita is going according to the Chachamim. The Tanan, we learned a Mishnah in Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hatzad Tzipur L'migdol Tzvila Bayis Chayev. A person chases and traps a bird inside a closet. That's considered a trap, because now a closet is too small for it to get away easily. Or Tzvila Bayis, or you trap a deer or a gazelle, whatever it is, in a house where, again, it's not a big enough area for it to run around in. Then he's Chayev. He's Chayev because then he's committed an act of trapping, an act of tzeda on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, which implies labayis or demachayv. You'd only be chayv if he drove the deer into a house, aval a bivrin loy. But if he just drove it into a bivrin, into an enclosure, then he would be potter because the pastures, because it's not fully trapped yet. Which would mean, so applying that to our Mishnah, then that would no. The brayta would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because when we're saying whatever you chayv for Shabbos is what we're saying, you're not allowed to take it on Yom Tov because it's not fully trapped yet. So therefore, if you, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it seems, if you chase a deer into a bivrin and then close the door, you've not yet committed an act, you've not performed an act of tzeda yet, because the deer is not trapped. It still has plenty of room to run around in the enclosure. Therefore, when it comes to Yom Tov, it needs another act of tzeda to get it, and you can't do that on Yom Tov.
Wait a minute. Before Yom Tov, if you made it run into the bivrin?
So, that's the thing. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, even on Shabbos, and for that matter on Yom Tov, if you made it run into the bivarin, you've not yet performed Seder. Therefore, you're potter. But that means, if you actually want to take this animal and shecht it on Yom Tov, you need another act of Seder, as the Gemara is going to say soon. You need to run further after it until you then lunge after it to catch it.
In the bivarin.
So therefore, that would be the Braita saying that you're not allowed to catch the Chaya from the bivarin. That would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it's compatible with Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas the Chachamim say in that Mishnah, Tzipor L'migdo, yes, we agree that a bird is considered trapped when you get it into a closet, but a Tzvi is not necessarily just to a house. Hagos HaBach has Labayis, if you chase it into a house, or Lagina into a garden, L'chotzer, or a courtyard, V'labivrin, and a bivrin. So we see, according to the Chachamim, once you've gotten the deer into the bivrin, that's it, it's considered trapped. which means without having to go further. So as far as Hilchos Shabbos, then you'd be chayev because you committed seder. As far as Hilchos Yom Tov, once it's already, suppose it's already in there before Yom Tov, then good.
Okay.
Then you're okay. To okay. That would be our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to take the chayev for the bivrin. So that takes care of chayev. Ela ofis ha-ofis kasha, but what are you going to do about the birds? Everybody agrees that a bird is not considered trapped until you drive it into a closet or something small like that. Certainly not on a bivrin. Certainly not on a bivrin. A bivrin is a large enclosure.
But it opened to the air?
We're going to talk about that in a second. That's actually the Gemara's first possibility. V'chitema, you might answer, ha nami lekasha, maybe there's still not a problem. Hava biver makura, hava biver she'ena makura. One's talking about a biver that has a roof, where therefore the bird is trapped, and that's that. The other is talking about where it doesn't have a roof, so the bird potentially can still fly away, so therefore you can't take it from there on Yom Tov. You can't say that. But habayis to kibiver makura dummy, consider a house. That's the equivalent of a biver that has a roof, because a house has a roof. Ubein the Rabbi Yehuda, ubein the Rabbanan, sipur l'migdol ein labayis loy. Both according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, a bird is only considered captured if you get it into a closet, but not into a house. Which means, so again, a house is the equivalent of a biverin with a roof, and yet we're saying it's not seder yet. So you haven't committed seder on Shabbos, and conversely, therefore on Yom Tov, if you have the bird already in there before Yom Tov, you can't go run around and catch it, because it's going to take running around. So you still have a contradiction. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna, hacha b'tzipur dror askin. And this b'raisa, not the b'raisa, rather the Mishnah in Shabbos, that talks about that bird is only considered trapped when you get into a closet, is talking about a tzipur dror. Different explanations of what a drur is exactly. I've seen different things, that it's a sparrow or a swallow, whatever. It's some kind of small bird. There are actually some mafarshim will point out, based on other gemaras, that it seems there's different kinds, that drur may be a generic term for any kind of bird, which, as the gemara is going to say in a second, or is always wild. It's never really fully domesticable. Because we find in different gemaras, we find implications in some places that a drur is a kosher bird, and other places where it's implied that it's not. So it can be, no. So in other words, a drur might be a generic term for any kind of bird that gets away from people. Which she'ena makabelos moros, it never fully accepts human control.
Can be properly trained.
Yeah. The Tanit Rei Rabbi Shmuel, Lama Nikra Shmat Tzipur Drur, then the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, why indeed is it called a Tzipur Drur? Drur means Shadara. Well, the word Drur does mean freedom, right? Well, actually, one second. I'll tell you something about that once we learn the explanation here in the Gemara. Shadara babayis kivasada. Dror is Meloshin dor, that it lives. It lives just as much in the house as much as in the field. Meaning, just like in the field, it'll dart this way and that. The same way, even in the house, even if you get it into a house, it will fly around and get everywhere it can possibly in the house to get away from you. Now, you're mentioning that the word dror we usually associate with freedom, or kras dror ba'aretz, proclaim liberty throughout the land, like it says on the Liberty Bell. The truth is, the Gemara actually in Rosh Hashanah says that the word dror there also doesn't necessarily mean freedom. It means also that kimidairi be'dairi, like a person is able to live wherever he wants. It includes this. That is the idea of liberty. But specifically, the derivation of the word dror is from the word dor, the word that he's able to dwell wherever he wants. So the same thing, the Tzipur Dror is a bird that wherever it dwells, it still tries to be as free as possible. So only if you get it into a closet where there's literally no room for it to run around is it finally going to put up its wings and give up, you know. But anywhere else, not. So the Gemara says, okay, hashta da'asis lahachi. Well, so if that's the case, if we use that to explain the difference between the birds, then the case in Shabbos is talking specifically about a Tzipur Dror. And so therefore applying that to our case on Yom Tov over here would mean that a Tzipur Dror that you got into a bivrin is not yet considered trapped, and therefore you can't go and catch it from there on Yom Tov. Whereas on the other hand, only if you got it, whereas our Mishnah would be talking about any other kind of bird, and therefore it says that you can take it. Because any other kind of bird, once it's in a bivrin, it gives up. Well then, hashtet, asis lahachi. Well, once you reach that point, then we don't even need chaya chaya namale kasha, and you also don't have a contradiction between the two cases of an animal. You don't have to say that the Brai says according to Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, because you can say hob biver cotton, hob biver gadol. That one case is talking about our Mishnah is talking about a small biver where the animal can't easily get away, and the Brai says talking about a biver gadol, talking about a large biver where it still will be able to get away, and therefore the seder hasn't fully been accomplished.
With that, separating.
Yeah, without having right, exactly. Okay, so then heichidama biver kot and heichidama biver god. Also fine. What's the definition of a small versus a large biver? Amarabashi kol heichad deroyta basra. Any time when you're running after the animal umatila b'chad shichya and you reach it with one in all in one lunge. The rohi tabasra. He runs after it umatila and he reaches it b'chad shichya. So there's two different explanations what this means. One is b'chad shichya. Rashi says it means meloshen shochel, like bending over. You bend over once and you immediately got it. Other Rishonim, Rabbi Hananel and others explain rather the word is not shichya with a ches, but rather shihya with a hey, like without a pause,
wait.
You know, without a wait, exactly. Like you do one, you run headlong and you immediately got it. You don't have to pause and catch your breath and go in a different direction or whatever. Either way, it amounts to the same thing. I mean, you know, you can get it right away. Easy to catch it. Then it's biver cotton, and that's considered a small biver. The idach, if it's any larger than that, then it's biver gadol. Inami, or another possibility, kol hech de'ika ukti, any time when the biver has different corners, like it's not perfectly square or rectangular or whatever, it has like different crevices and corners or whatever, then it's considered biver gadol, because then it amounts to the same thing. Then you can't necessarily get the animal in one lunge or one sprint, because it's going to run into one of the corners. Then it would be a biver gadol, but idach, biver katan. Otherwise, if it's shaped normal, then it's a small biver. Inami, or yet another possibility, kol hecha de nafli tulba de ksali adadi, any time when the shadows of the walls hit each other. Meaning, in other words, so some of the Farshim say it means that, in other words, like at a certain time during the day, the shadow of this wall, let's say, will reach all the way to the opposite wall. The Rambam seems to say that it means rather that if it's small enough that at some time during the day the area that the shadow of this wall covers overlaps the area that the shadow of this wall covers. In other words, sometime during the middle of the day, the shadow of this wall, let's say, will reach down to here, and then at another time of day when the sun is in a different direction, the shadow of this one will reach all the way down to here. Which Tosfos adds, one thing you have to say of that is, I mean, wouldn't that depend on the height of the wall? The answer is Tosfos says that Biverdin in those days had a standard size height of wall. So therefore, it's not a matter of the height as a standard thing, it's just a matter of area then. Right. So if it does that, then it's Biver cotton, then it's small Biver Idach, otherwise it's Biver gadol.
What was the height of the Biver?
Let's say. But whatever it was a standard height that they knew of. No, so we're not talking about evidently when the sun is low in the sky. We're talking about during the middle of the day.
If it's more than a certain size, it won't help.
Right. Then the Mishnah had said, Reb Shimon Gamliel had said there's a difference between different types of biverdin, and it depends whether it's mechutz or tzeder, whether it still needs more trapping. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halachah, Reb Shimon Gamliel. That the halacha is actually like him. That there is a difference between biverin.
That means what?
Well, there's a difference. No, not necessarily a difference. That we were just saying a difference between cotton and gadol. But basically, it depends whether it's mechutz tzeder or not, whether it still needs trapping or not. Which we'll talk about in a minute. What that means. Yeah. The point of Rabbi Yehuda saying that, the point of Rabbi Yosef saying that, though, is you might have thought not necessarily is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagreeing with the Tanakhama. He may be just explaining. You, Tanakhama, are saying generically that you can't take fish, but you can take birds and animals for a biverdin. The fact is, there's different kinds of biverdin out there. So then, by Rabbi Yosef coming and saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel implies that it's an actual machloikus. The Tanakhama is saying generically biverdin, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one making the distinction. So, Amalei Abaye, so that's Abaye asked him, halacha mekal de pligi. You're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Does that imply that they argue? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, "Why not kalach mina? What's the practical difference? I mean, either way, if they disagree, then I'm saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. If they don't disagree, so much the better. Of course, the halacha is like him. Either way, it amounts to the same thing. Amalei,
there could be the halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and still there would be arguing.
Right, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. You know, either way, what we're saying is, yes, there is a difference, but
they could be arguing.
Right. But so Rabbi Yosef is saying, so what's the difference? Either way, the halacha is the halacha.
Right.
Amalei, but Abaye answers him, no. Gemara is motor to hay. It uses an expression like the Gemara that we learn, you know, learn the Gemara, you know, learn over the words, and it should just be like a song. In other words, he's saying to him, what do you tell a Talmud Shoytim? Rashi says you tell a foolish Talmud, learn whether it's true or not true. It'll be a song. No, you have to know what you have to understand what you're learning, whether it makes sense.
Right. It shouldn't be rote learning.
It shouldn't be rote learning, exactly. Yeah. So we have to understand the thing behind it. Yeah. Abai is saying that there is a Chassidish Avart I once saw on this from Reb Tzadik. That from Reb Tzadik of Lublin, I mentioned at the time we had this Gemara in Shabbos as well, that he also, this expression is also meant in a positive sense. Gemara, you learn the Gemara, you learn the words of Torah, Zmorta Tehei, and it becomes a cutting off. To cut off the klippas and the Sitra Achra that surround us all the time. Yeah. The Reb Tzadik of Lublin. Then the Mishnah says that the general rule is any time when you're still lacking seder, when there still needs to be trapping done. So heichidam mechutzet seder, what's considered mechutzet seder? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol sha'omer. Any time when you have to say habi mitzuda, let's go get a net or a tzudenu when we have to catch it. In other words, you have to figure out how you're going to catch it exactly. You can't just bend over or run over and get it. So Rashi says this amounts to the same thing as before. When we were saying before that the shadows don't meet each other or it's in that corners or whatever, it amounts to the same thing. Tosfos says what Tosfos says, then why? Why didn't it mention it together with all the other things? We were just giving definitions before of a bivakot and bivagadol. Why all of a sudden do we have this new definition? So therefore, Tosfos says there's a difference. Before we were talking about animals, here we're talking about birds. When it comes to animals, there's the various sizes that we're talking about, the size, the shape, the whatever.
We were still talking about birds before.
We were talking about birds before in connection with whether it had a roof or not. It doesn't matter really whether it has a roof or not. It depends on the type of bird, whether it's the type that tries to run away or not. Then already we can distinguish that there we're talking about animals, and here we're talking about birds. That with birds, it's not so much the size of the enclosure, it's whether you have to consider, whether you have to figure out how you're going to catch it, as opposed to just reaching out and scooping it up. Amalei Abayas, Abay asked Rabbi Yosef, v'avdin v'tarnet golem. But what about, consider, for example, if you have in your yard, if you have geese or chickens, sh'omim havim mitzudim and sedenu, there also you have to sometimes get a net in order to catch them, because they run around. Avdin is geese. Tarnet golem is chickens. V'tanya, and yet we learn in a braisa, hatsod avdin v'tarnet golem, if a person catches on Yom Tov geese or chickens, v'yone hadisiyos, or tame pigeons. Rashi gives two explanations why they're called hadisiyos. One is it's named after the place they come from, and the other is because Hordus, the famous king, the infamous King Hordus, is the first one who domesticated them.
Just found out they say that on one of these people, and the Kosher was still after the Second Temple.
Oh, I haven't heard of that. Okay, I don't know. They found some coin. No, they found some coinage under the coastal from after his time. Maybe that's what you're thinking of. So they realized that the coastal wasn't completed at the time of his death. Evidently, they must have continued to build. Fine, but they still were still in the time of the second Vatican Mikdash. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So if a person catches these geese or chickens or these tame doves, potter. So in other words, it doesn't depend on whether you need a net or whether you need to figure out how you're going to catch them. It just depends on the species. The difference is the geese and the chickens. It's true they run around the yard during the day. They'll try to get away from you, but in the evening they come back to their nest, to their coop. Whereas the other kinds of birds that we're talking about don't. So only if the place is small enough that you'll be able to catch them at one lunge or whatever, then you're allowed to run Yom Tov. Otherwise, not. Why? What about non-domesticated? What about feral pigeons? Pigeons that live in bird houses, like we talked about earlier in the Masechta, or pigeons that live in people's attics. They come back to their bird houses or their attics or whatever in the evening. V'tanya, and yet we learn in a braisa, if somebody catches birds from pigeons from a birdhouse, or pigeons from the attic, or birds that nest in jugs on the tops of walls. Rashi describes that sometimes in those days they'd build onto the tops of walls, they'd build these like jug-shaped things for birds to nest in. Yeah. So if somebody traps birds from those, then he's chayev. So and even though they come back there in the evening, so obviously that's not the deciding factor. Ella, Amar Dam Barapona, Amar Shmuel, the difference is how when it comes to the chickens and geese and tame doves versus the other ones, the difference is how there's two things. Halalu born the klub and la'erav kumas are nice in alacha. Number one, the geese and the chickens come back to their cage, to their enclosure in the evening, and they depend on you for food, because they can't find their own, so therefore they're considered like domestic animals. Halalu, it's true, the other ones, the feral pigeons, they do come to back, they're born the klub and la'erav, they do come back to their nests in the evening, but the aimas are nice in alacha, but they don't depend on you for food, because they go forage on their own. And therefore, that's why you're not allowed to trap them. You need two things, in other words. You need that the bird is tame enough to return to its enclosure in the evening. And number two, it has to be that dependent on you for its survival, like the geese and the chickens.
Then you're
allowed to catch them on Yom Tov.
Whereas if they catch it somewhere else...
Then not. Then that's what I'm saying.
Well, what's the
that's the point of that is, exactly like we said, that if they don't depend on you, then they're like wild animals. Either it's an issue of seder, either it's an issue of trapping them, or it's an issue of mukta, because they're wild animals. We're going to talk about it at the very end of the Masechta, the last Mishnah and the Gemara on it. In the Masechta, we're going to talk about animals that are they're not domestic. They're like semi wild animals that they spend most of their time outside the city foraging in the field. That you're talking not allowed to shack them on Yom Tov unless you pre-designated them. Yeah.
And that's according to everyone.
Yeah. Rav Mari gives a different answer between the chickens and geese and the tame dogs versus the other. Hani avidi l'rabuyi, the ones that you're not allowed to catch, for example, the pigeons that nest in the birdhouses, they tend to run away from people. L'rabuyi means to run away. Mahani loy avidi l'rabuyi, whereas the chickens and geese don't. What do you mean? Kulanami avidi l'rabuyi. Chickens and geese also run away from you. The answer is l'kluban kamrin and David l'rabuyi. What we mean is that, yes, they run away from you until they get to their nest, until they get to their coop or whatever. And then, you know, then you can get them over there. As opposed to, for example, the feral pigeons, even after they get into the birdhouse, if you reach in to try and get them, they're still going to run this way and that. As opposed to the chicken, once it's in its coop, fine, you know, it'll allow you to lift it up. So that's the difference. L'kluban kamrin, and we're talking about in their nest, David l'rabuyi, that they still run around. Those are the ones that you're not allowed to catch on Yom Tov. Mishnah says, Mitzoides chayev ha'ofer dogim, traps for wild animals or birds or fish, sha'asan me'erv Yom Tov, which he set up the traps before Yom Tov, lo yutal mehem Yom Tov, you're not allowed to take the creatures that were trapped in them, elim ken yadesh, and it's sodom me'erv Yom Tov, unless you know that they were trapped there of Yom Tov, because otherwise they were trapped on Yom Tov. They weren't mukham, they weren't medi, they were mukta before Yom Tov. You didn't know that this particular one is going to be trapped. So therefore, you're back to the problem of mukta.
That was when were they trapped?
That's the problem, you don't know. So if you have a timer on it, then you know, but otherwise you don't have a way of knowing. We'll talk about in the Gemara possibilities how you might know.
Beyond that, isn't it cruel to trap animals?
You have to. How else are you going to get them? If you want to eat venison, you have to get a deer somehow. You're not going to get it to walk up to you, you know?
I understand that, but...
So you see, it's a trap that doesn't cause more tzar balachayim than it has to, you know?
Not
in and of itself, no. I mean, it depends on the kind of trap, obviously. I mean, if you're going to use something like a bear trap, like the kind with the jagged edges around them, yeah, that would probably be considered tzar balachayim. But we're talking about like a rope trap or something, you know? Yeah. It once happened that a guy brought fish to Ram Gamliel on Yom Tov. V'omer, Ram Gamliel says, mutarim heim. Actually, this fish is mutar to take, which we'll talk about in the Gemara, how that fits with the first half of the Mishnah. After all, you don't know whether the guy trapped him on Yom Tov or not. Elo, shein ritzoni v'kabal amenu, but I don't want to accept it from him. He actually says, because I hate him. Because I hate him. The guy was, Ram Gamliel didn't like him. The Pnei Yeshua points out the reason why Rashi had to mention that detail is because otherwise, fine, you might have thought Rav Gamliel just wants to be machmer on himself, but and that's why he doesn't want to eat them. But that wouldn't preclude him accepting the gift. Fine, you accept it and you put it away. So after Yom Tov, the fact that he's saying I don't even want to accept it has to be because he hated him and didn't want to accept anything. telling me I'm isolist, so you're telling me a case in order to contradict what we said before. Usually, when the Gemara, when the Mishnah brings a case, it's to support what we said before, not to contradict it. The answer is chsurim echsura, the Mishnah is missing words. Bahachikapani, what it means to say is like this. Sopik mochan asur, the basic idea is that if you're not sure whether something was prepared before Yom Tov, meaning in this case, the animal was tracked, but you don't know whether it was tracked before Yom Tov, and then it was already mochan, it's already ready for you, or whether or not it was only tracked on Yom Tov, then it's asur. Ram Gamliel matur, and Ram Gamliel says such a thing as mutter, or mai tanami, and indeed there was a story, but not really after Shevet Dagam and Ram Gamliel, a certain guy brought fish to Ram Gamliel, but Alma were turning in, and Ram Gamliel says they're mutter, Elishay returning the capital, but I don't want to accept it from him. If it's a matter of mukta, then that depends on what we said. When we said at the very beginning of the Masechta about Hachana de Rava, that Rava's principle that any food that you're going to eat on Shabbos or a Yom Tov has to be prepared from beforehand, and he brought that as Deraisa, what does Hachana mean over there? Does it mean that it has to be available? Does it mean, for example, what we said, an egg, for example, Beis HaShanel de Yom Tov, can't be eaten on Yom Tov because it wasn't ready on Yom Tov itself? Because it wasn't ready before Yom Tov, rather, because it was laid on Yom Tov. Or is it like Tosfos said over there, the Hachana the Rabba we're talking about over there has to do with cooking and baking and whatever. So that would be Negei over here also. I mean, these fish existed before Yom Tov, but on the other hand, you didn't have them in mind. So maybe in that case, they would fall under Rashi's definition of Hachana, and they'd be also for those on those grounds in Daraisa. On the other hand, you could also argue according to Tosfos. I mean, they weren't cooked before Yom Tov. Rabbah had said this. Nobody disagreed with him. The reason we call Hachana the Rabbah is because Rabbah is the one who enunciated this idea.
And so everybody agrees. Yeah. Chachamim.
We talked about that, and it seems to be pretty. Yeah, we said it's pretty generally accepted. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, ain't halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, the halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel. A safek mochan on Yom Tov is indeed aser. And the Gemara says, "V'ikad demachni la'aha." There are others who learn this statement of Shmuel in relation to not in relation to our Mishnah, but in relation to a Braisa. The Tanya that it says in a Braisa, "Safek mochan." The Braisa they explicitly spells out that when it's a safek, whether something was ready but was prepared, was available to you before Yom Tov. Rabbi Gamliel says, and on that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha could Rabbi Yeshua. But on this, he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. He couldn't have said that on our Mishnah, because on our Mishnah there's no Rabbi Yeshua. So he would have had to say it on the Braisa.
But usually when Rabbi Gamliel says something, the halacha is always inviting.
It varies. I don't know that there's any general rule in that. I'm not sure if there's any general rule in that regard. The Ikka Demach Nilaha, and then there are yet others who learn this statement of Shmuel in relation to another statement, Tanya, that says Ebraisa, Shechtim in a Nagurin b'Yom Tov. You're allowed to shecht animals that were in a Nagurin before Yom Tov. Rashi says Nagurin is another word for Bivrin. And in fact, Rabbeinu Hananel has the gears of Bivrin. Rashi explains that Nagurin literally means canals, because it's very common in a Bivrin, you dig canals for water so the animals have where to drink. So therefore, it's called Nagurim. So you're allowed to shecht animals that you catch from a Bivrin on Yom Tov, Avaloyman or Shoftis, but not ones that were in a trap. You set out a net as a trap before Yom Tov, and an animal got trapped in it, then you can't, because you don't know whether it's trapped on Yom Tov or before it. However, Umin HaMachmoris, or from Shoftis and Machmoris are two different kinds of traps. Shoftis means nets, Machmoris means snares. Snares, like if you set up an arrangement of ropes, for example.
They wouldn't.
Yeah. Reb Shimon Alaza says it depends. Ba'u matzan mekukolin me'erev Yom Tov. If you come and find the net, moved, mekukolin literally means damaged, but it means, in other words, that they're like moved from their place before Yom Tov, changed me'erev Yom Tov from before Yom Tov. So Rashi describes like this. What they used to do is they would sometimes set out these very long strings of nets or snares. Rashi describes like they'd set them out to a length of a mil or a half a mil, so you're talking a considerable distance. So you might have, from when you're standing at one end, we're not talking one whole net, we're talking a series of nets, like a relay, kind of. If an animal is trapped in one of them, and it's going to try to thrash to get loose, it's going to affect all the other ones down the line. So therefore, when you come, you're standing a half a mil away, you can't see the trap at the other end, but you're going to know by the positions of the traps that there's something trapped at the other end.
Because they've changed.
So they moved, yeah. So if you find them moved from before Yom Tov, then via Dorshim or Erev Yom Tov Nitzayu, then automatically you know that the animal was trapped before Yom Tov, or Mutaran, and therefore they're Mutar. Whereas bo mutton mikolin biyamtiv, if you come only on yamtiv itself and find a messed up and find a moved, viyadur shab yamtiv nitzadu, then mitzadu, then you know that the animals are trapped on yamtiv, vafsurin, and then they'd be osur. Which actually, they're also because then they were trapped on yamtiv. No, they're also till after yamtiv.
Till after
yamtiv, yeah. We'll talk about that soon, but they should be osur, yeah. Which, by the way, Mephoshim point out, the other Chachamim would disagree with Reb Shimon Elazar, because they would argue, even if you found them a Kokodin from before Yom Tov, very nice, so you know an animal was trapped there. But how do you know the one that you come on Yom Tov and find there was the same animal? Maybe the original one managed to get away, and this is another one. Yeah. But anyway, so the Gemara is not really focusing on that, it's focusing on something else. We have to consider Hog Guf Akasha. We have, there seems to be a contradiction in what Reb Shimon Elazar himself is saying. We're saying if you come and find the traps messed up on Erev Yom Tov, then you know already the animal was trapped Erev Yom Tov. Time of the Baal Mutton Mikukulin, which would imply why is it Mutter? Only because Erev Yom Tov already you came to one end of the trap and you already found it moved from its place.
Well, then you know that it's
so then, but Hos Feika Asurin, which would imply if it was a suffix, suppose you did not check them Erev Yom Tov at all, and you only, suppose you did not check them Erev Yom Tov, then it sounds like it would be a suffix, so it would be also. But Ema Sefer, but look at the next part. Bo Mutton Mikukulin Bi Yom Tov, if only if you came on Yom Tov itself and found them for the first time that they're messed up. Via Drosha Bi Yom Tov Insaidu, then you know the animal was trapped on Yom Tov.
How do you
know? Hot Sfeika. No, you came on Yom Tov.
So it could have been.
No, that's the thing. Timer de Bo Mutton Mikukulin, which implies only because you came and found them on Yom Tov Mikukulin. Hot Sfeika. But if there was a suffix, you could assume Erev Yom Tov Insaidu and Mutardam, that they're trapped Erev. So what is it? We're talking about if you came and checked it out Erev Yom Tov versus if you came and checked it on Erev Yom Tov. But what if you didn't? What if neither one? What if you walked over to the end that has the animal on Yom Tov and found an animal in it? According to the first part of the Braita. If you didn't check at all, not Erev Yom Tov and not on Yom Tov itself, right? Yeah. The answer is Hachika Amar, so this is what he means to say. Yes, if you come and check them Erev Yom Tov and you find them messed up, you find them moved from the place, then you know the animal was trapped Erev Yom Tov, and then Mutarin. Hasfeika, but if there's any doubt, meaning if you did not check them Erev Yom Tov, Nase Kamishin Nitzodu Bi Yom Tov, we consider it as if they were trapped on Yom Tov, because we have no way of knowing at that point. And therefore, even if we don't know yet, and therefore, Vasarin, and therefore they'd be answer, on that, we're saying, Amr of Yehuda Mashmo, Halacha Kirb Shimon Elazar, that the Halacha is like him, that indeed, where you have a Sufik Mukhan, then it's Asr. So only if you know that it was Mukhan from before Yom Tov, so you know that its trap was messed up before Yom Tov, then already it's Mutter. But again, the Chacham might disagree with him and say even that is not necessarily a proof, but we're saying at least we'll accept what he's saying as far as that goes. But if there's any suffix, as opposed to Rav Gamliel in the Mishnah, who would say, I'm allowed to take these fish from the goy, even though I don't know whether he trapped them today or yesterday, but I don't want them. Then the Mishnah had said, V'omer mutar in heim, that Rav Gamliel had said that actually this fish is mutar. The question is, mutar in lamai, in what sense are they mutar? Rav omer mutar in lakabal, Rav says that it means he's allowed to accept them, means he's allowed to handle them. Even Rav Gamliel would agree you're not allowed to eat these fish on Yom Tov because they might have been caught on Yom Tov. But at least
what was the Mishnah saying?
The Mishnah was saying that a guy one time brought fish to Rav Gamliel on Yom Tov, and he said actually they're mutter, but I don't want to accept them from him. When we say actually they're mutter, what do you mean? Mutter in the sense that you're allowed to handle them, that you're allowed to take the fish from the guy and put it in the fridge. That in other words, it's not mukta as far as handling it. But Rav Gamliel would agree you're not allowed to eat it. For Levi, I'm going to return Bachila. Whereas Levi says that Rav Gamliel means it's actually allowed to eat. That, yeah, because he doesn't have a problem with Safik Mochan. Omar Rav, so Rav says on this, you should...
For Rav, then the fact he says Mekabel means only Mekabel.
Right, but not to eat. Whereas according to Levi, he means I would even be allowed to eat it, but I don't choose to accept it. Amar Rav, so Rav says on this, here's an important Musa Haskell, an important lesson. A person should never stay away, should never keep himself away from the Bez Medrash, even for a short time. Because both Levi and I were learning by Rebbe, we were both Talmidim, when he was saying over this verse. Now, Ba'uta, in the evening, when he was teaching this, Amar Mutarin Ba'achila, then Rebbe had said, what does it mean Mutarin? In the Mishnah, it means you're allowed to eat them. But Safra, in the morning, Rebbe changed his mind, and he said, Amar Mutarin Lakabel.
They were both there?
Yeah, Rav and Levi were both there in the evening.
But in the morning?
In the morning, one second, that's what we're saying.
One second. Not there, neither of them?
No, 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 wait. In the evening, both of them were there when Rebbe said that it means that you're even allowed to eat it. In the next morning, but Safra, Amar Matar, and Lekabel, Rebbe changed his mind and said, you're only allowed to accept the fish. You're only allowed to handle it, but you're not allowed to eat it. So, Anna, I, Davoy Ben Medrash, I was there in the morning in the Bes Medrash. So I heard Rebbe change his mind. No, Rav is saying that when we learned this from Rebbe, I was there the next morning to hear Rebbe change his mind and say that it means only to accept him. How do we be? So indeed, I changed my mind and then accepted what Rebbe said now. Levi, did Loi have a Beit Medrash, whereas Levi, who was not in the Beit Medrash at the time, Loi Hasbeit did not change his mind. Which, I mean, you know, obviously Levi found out afterwards what happened, but Levi was not obligated to accept the retraction because Levi might have argued, you know what, if I had been there, I would have argued, I would have pointed out that there's reason to say that it means Mutar and Ba'achila, and Rebbe might well have accepted my opinion. So Levi is still entitled to hold to his opinion. But Rav is saying, the fact is, Levi, if you had been there, you would have heard Rebbe brought such eisen of proofs for what he's saying that you would have had you would have been compelled to accept it just as much as I was.
No problem, you went on there, so
yeah.
You
yeah. So in other words, Levi has a valid point in sticking to his opinion, but Rav has a valid point. If you had been there, maybe you wouldn't be sticking to your opinion. Rebbe would have explained why your understanding of it is incorrect.
Moral is
always be in the Medrash. Umas is Mesvi. I have a contradiction to Levi. A Braisa says, Nochu Shehebi Dorin Lisrael, if a guy brings a present to a yid, I feel a dogim hamafulamim, even if it's fresh fish, mafulamim literally means moist. So even if it's fresh, so it looks like it was just caught. Or peiros b'nei yomim, or fruit from that same day, again, it looked like fresh fruit, it looked like it was just picked, then it's mutter, mutarin.
Even if it's
mutter. Then it's mutter, even though we're talking about yomim. So, b'shleim of the mandam, mutarin, l'kabel, shapir. So, okay, according to Rav, and according to Rebbe's second opinion, that it means you're only allowed to accept the gift, but yet then you have to put it away until after yomim before you can eat it. Fine, then we understand what that means. But if you're going to say it means that you're allowed to eat them, what do you mean? Peiros, yes. Are you allowed to eat fruit that was picked that day? Mela fish, you could say, fine, it came from a small bivern or whatever, but fruit, there's no question. If it was picked that day, it's also. So how would Levi understand that? Like my answer is back, really, time is. So new, according to your logic, so if fruit is picked that day, you're also not allowed to move it. It is mukta in that sense also. So you have a question on Rav's understanding as well. Ella.
Because Rav didn't say it.
No, that's the thing. Rav is not saying. It's saying it's not mukta. But why? If we're talking about fruit that was picked and was actually picked that day, then yes, it's mukta. Ella, so you have to say what we're talking about is because we're not talking about literally fresh. We're not talking about fish that is fresh in the sense that it was actually caught today and fruit that was actually picked today. What we mean is bekavri da adimi. We mean fish that is still, Rashi says, is still red. Adimi meloshet adam. Kavri is fish. Rashi says, When you want to check whether fish are fresh, one of the first things you should do is check under the gills. If it's red there, you know the fish is fresh.
And the eyes.
Okay, I didn't know about the eyes, but okay. So you check under the gills and see if it's red. So therefore, this fish, it's still red under the gills, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it was picked that it was caught that day. It might have been they caught it. You might have caught an Erev Yom Tov and just put it back in water for a while.
Might have put it Erev Yom Tov. Let it die, you mean?
Yeah.
And then the gilt cannot be fresh.
No, but it still look reddish. But yeah. You know, you kept it fresh, you kept it in water.
But it didn't breathe. They only red because it breathed.
Okay. So I don't know then.
To breathe or
no, so maybe no. So one second. So we don't have to say that. We can say that he caught it from the lake, let's say, Erev Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Then he put it into a fish bowl in his house, and then he took it out. So then it's still alive. Fine. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Rashi brings a different explanation from his teachers that adimi means that the fish is cut up. But then Rashi says, well, then of course, if it's cut up, then there's no reason to assume it's fresh. Anyway. So the fish we're talking about is the gills are still red, or it could be fruit that was immediately put, they immediately put it into leaves to keep it fresh. So it could be that it was picked the Erev Yom Tov, but it was the kvishi, biyauka, that it was pickled, literally pickled, but actually kvishi means it was hidden in greenery, in leaves. So then it may well have been picked before Yom Tov, and it looks fresh. So why are we calling it Bnei Yomen? Shein Kain Bnei Yomen. They're as fresh as if they were caught today. But nevertheless, Levi would still say that, yes, the Braisa is saying they're mutter to eat, because they may well have been picked or caught out of Yom Tov. And according to Rabban Gamliel, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, according to Rabban Gamliel, Safek Mochan is fine. Amar Papa, so the Papa says, Hilchasa, the bottom line, the halacha is like this. Nachri Shehebi Doran Lisrob Yom Tov, if a guy brings a present of food or whatever to a Yid on Yom Tov, Im Yeshma Osamid Mechover, if that kind of species exists attached to the ground, for example, fruit, Osir, then it's Osir. Rashi says, because of Muchta. And Rashi says, even according to Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold of this broad concept of Muchta, he would agree that anything that you specifically put out of mind before Yom Tov is Muchta. For example, classic example is Grogros for Tzimukim, grapes that you're in the process of drying into raisins, where they're not edible until they're finished. Same thing over here. Since they were still attached to the tree, you didn't have your mind on them before Yom Tov, because there's no way you can pick them on Yom Tov. And once you're not allowed to pick them, then they're the Muchta, yeah, in the sense that you don't expect the guy to eat it. So therefore, then it's Osir. And Vala Erev Nami Asurin B'chdesh Yasu. And not only that, that evening after Yom Tov, it's Osir until enough time has passed for it to be done. For example, for the food to be done, for the malacha to be done, and the thing to be brought to you. It depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about fruit, it just takes a second to pick it, but then it takes time to bring it to you, if it may have come from outside the tchum. If we're talking about something that requires processing, then the amount of time that it takes to process it. If that species does not exist attached to the ground, then such as for example a package of product of some kind, cheese for example. I don't know, cheese maybe is not a good example. Goat cheese is also, but okay, whatever, you know. Then it's allowed if it came from inside the tchum, because then there's no question, you can eat it right away. There's no issue with it. No malacha was done involved with it. But if it came from outside the tchum, then it's also. Which Rashi actually says that. Well, Rashi says that. If I cared, Rashi says actually I don't understand why. If it's a matter of if it's a matter of mukta, why are we saying that the Gemara is going to say now, one second, something that is brought for the sake of one yid is mutter to a different yid?
Can you carry mukta?
We're talking about a guy carrying it. But Rashi says if it's mukta, then it's mukta for all Jews. Because no Jew had their mind on it that it could come from outside the tchum. And if it's because an Isser was done with it, then it's also to another Jew as well. So Rashi says maybe because Tchumen is on the Rabbanon, maybe that's why we're not machmir on it so much. Tosfos agrees with that also, that since Tchumen is on the Rabbanon, we'll offer it on the person that the guy brought it for, but not everybody else. Now Rashi has a very interesting discussion over here. The last Rashi on Chavdal Amadeus, about what about when you have a two-day Yom Tov? When we're saying, for example, so a guy brings you a present on Yom Tov, we're saying you have to wait B'chdesh Yasu. So if you have a two-day Yom Tov, does that mean you have to wait into the second day of Yom Tov B'chdesh Yasu? Let's say, for example, it takes an hour for this thing to be done. Does that mean you wait an hour into the second day of Yom Tov and then it's Mutter?
In other words, you start with
you wait an hour and then you're good. Or does it mean you actually have to wait until after the second day of Yom Tov, the extra hour? So Rashi says that actually no, if it's a two-day Yom Tov, you should only have to wait the hour into the second night of Yom Tov, because after all, a two-day Yom Tov, as we said a number of times already, the whole thing is only a suffix. One day or the other is chol. So there's no reason you should be machmir on both days.
That's the question Rashi
is asking. So Rashi is saying then that in that case,
in 2 days you can...
You should be... Once you're an hour into the second day, you should be mutter. And Rashi has a very interesting, unusual personal statement that Rashi says about this. If you look in the middle of the Rashi, beginning from the line that begins Chelhu, v'loizachisi lishal aspira benu Yaakov b'davazeh. I never had the chance to ask my Rebbe Rabbeinu Yaakov about this. Because in our place where we live, they everybody was master that. So it was an obvious thing to me. It must be mutter.
Meaning
that after the first day they would eat it on the second day. Well, Achav Tiras Yishol Rebbe, but after my Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov, passed away, Shamaiti as Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi Shu'oyser, I heard that Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi said it's also, Al-Leo Motzi Yom Tov Sheni until Motzi of the second night of Yom Tov, V'chol Anshi Irei Kemoyser, and all the people of his city, of Worms, did like that also. V'gam Alachos Gerlis Oitzin Kain. V'danti Lepanov, and I argued about it in front of him, V'lohi Liadavar, I couldn't get anywhere. And Rashi says what his reason is. But then he ends up saying, if you look at the bottom of a Truva Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'ir Agoila Matasi Kemoisi, in the end, I found a Truva Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'ir Agoila that agrees with what I'm saying. It's only also the first day. Gam Ata Boy La Michtiv Megam Ma'ish. Also, I just got a letter from Gam Ma'ish, which is Worms. Shabala Sham Adam Gadol Zaken VeYosheb Yeshivim in Roma. There came there a great old Talmid Chacham who spent his entire life in a yeshiva from Rome, Ushmoda Kloinimus, Uboki Bachala Shas, he's expert in the entire Shas, Bahur Kane, and he passed in like that, but it's only us after the first day, Venech Makalei, and so he argued with Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi and the other Chachamim of Gemaizer and said that it's only us after the first day. So that's Rashi's shitta. That's only also after the first day. Tosfos then discusses it at length, and Tosfos slogs up Rashi's reasons and says that no, the thing, see, Tosfos is saying, you're assuming the reason why it's only also after the first day is because it's a matter of that a malacha was done with it on Yom Tov. Tosfos says, no, there's a different reason why it's also. Because we don't want to have that you're going to get the idea to ask a guy to do this malacha for you on Yom Tov so you can enjoy it immediately on Yom Tov. So therefore, there is logic to say that even after the first day Yom Tov is over, you're still not allowed to ask him to do it on the second day either, fake of the Yomer or not. So therefore, it should be also until the hour or whatever it is after the second day Yom Tov. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. It both opinions. Alter Rebbe says that in general people are noyig like the second opinion, like the opinion of Tosfos, that indeed so not like Rabbi Yaakov, not like Rashi, not like Rabbeinu Kloinimus, but rather like what Tosfos said. Rather,
well, Rabbeinu Kloinimus, we don't know the reason.
Well, he just says that Hodor came, that he paskin like what Rashi says.
But he paskins like Rashi,
yeah.
Right.
Right, but Tosfos disagrees with that whole concept, and therefore the halacha is the accepted halacha is like Tosfos in that regard. Yeah.
Just because we shouldn't ask a guy.
So we shouldn't ask a guy, right?
Would you be able to send me the copy of that after?